Edward Davey. I'm the Member of Parliament for Kingston and Surbiton, and I'm also the leader of the Liberal Democrats.
First of all, there are lots of strikes going on. I was wondering if you could tell us if you've been speaking to Kingston Hospital about the effect of ambulance and nurses strikes on them.
Well, Kingston Hospital has really not suffered too badly from nurses' strikes. The little action that has been, they've done an amazing job in making sure people who needed care got that care. So I think a huge tribute to the hospital and the nurses and doctors. Clearly, the ambulance, London ambulance strikes has had a bigger impact. And people who are worried about that can go on to King's Hospital's website to get advice about how to get that care. But once again, ambulance drivers have acted quite responsibly in terms of making sure that emergency calls are answered. So it's been quite a mixed picture, to be fair. And I still think that the blame for all of this is right at the government's door. It's frankly been a shambolic management of the economy and a complete reluctance to go and talk to the unions and talk to people who are on strike.
Kingston is largely a market town and a major shopping district. The timing of the strikes was extremely disruptive for the period, which could have made up for the next 3 months at the start of the year in terms of profits for these small businesses. Was the timing of the strikes excessively disruptive?
Well, the rail strikes that you're now talking about have really caused quite a lot of problems, far more indeed than actually the nurses' strike locally. And you're right, local businesses have been hit by them. But I still have to say a lot of the blame does go back to government ministers. I mean, the Financial Times reported before Christmas that ministers actually blocked a deal to stop the rail strikes. Employers had planned to offer a 10% pay rise to the RMT union, but were blocked by the government. So the problem we've had, wherever you look across the piece, is the government seemed to be having a political agenda on these strikes and seemed to be interfering when there could be solutions. And I'm finding that very worrying, frankly. The government seemed not to have a grip on this and are making a difficult situation even worse.
Could they not have moved more of the strikes until after Christmas, though?
Well, listen, I don't want to see any strikes. Let's be really clear about that. And I want people to get around the negotiating table to solve them. We all know that it's a very difficult time for people, whether they are people who are struggling with their incomes and pay and want to see better pay deals, or people who are trying to get to work. We've got to see an end to the strikes. But how does that happen? That's the question. And the government have done very little to avert these strikes. Indeed, they've got in the way of preventing a resolution that the employers actually wanted. So that's what I'm worried about. We want to see an end to the strikes, but the government aren't doing enough to bring that end about.
Moving on to Kingston's local plan, it was on your Christmas reading. could you tell us what your general reaction to it is?
Well, when you start looking at the plan, first of all, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. But secondly, it's geared to the largest consultation I can ever remember in Kingston, with face-to-face in-person meetings, online meetings. I actually had a flyer through my door here in Surbiton talking about all the different plans. There's a face-to-face meeting next Tuesday in New Malden. There's one on Surbiton on the 21st of January, and so on and so forth. So I would really actually urge your listeners to go online, have a look at the plan, give us their views, because this is all about consultation. It's all about finding what local people want for our community over the next two decades.
Beyond the consultation that it's tied to, do you have a reaction to the content of the plan as the MP for the area?
Yeah, well, what's happened in the plan is that the local council having to follow a lot of targets that central government are putting on us for more housing. Now, we need more housing. There's no doubt there's people who are poorly housed and there's not enough homes, and we've got to find a way of building houses locally. Kingston Council is really leading the way in terms of council homes, affordable homes. We're seeing the largest council house building programme in over 40 years. But Kingston Council is being urged by government, pushed by government to do even more. But there's been a bit of confusion recently. Here's the new real news. The government very recently said that it was going to scrap compulsory targets on councils for housing starts, housing numbers. And this has led to huge confusion, not just here in Kingston, but across the whole of the country. And we're still not clear what the government mean by ending these mandatory housing targets on councils like Kingston. So hopefully we'll get some more clarity from the government.
One line in the local plan that stuck out to me: growth needs to positively contribute to local character and distinctiveness to ensure the creation of high quality, beautiful and sustainable places. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means we need the right sort of development. And I think that's really important. In the past, we've seen development happen that's just out of character and spoils the whole feel of a community. And I want to make sure that when we do provide the homes that we need for the future, they're done in a way which local people feel, yeah, that's the right thing. We do need those houses. And these are the right houses in the right places. So many of the government's policies today have been really favouring developers. And often we've seen the wrong homes in the wrong places, not just in Kingston, but elsewhere. So I'm hoping those types of policies that the council's adopting will stop that. And we'll have a more community-led approach to development locally than the developer-led approach, which the Conservatives have pushed for far too often in the past.
Moving on to RB Cares, on their website they talk about how they keep their ears to the ground about people in need and key workers needing a morale boost. Through Sewing for Kingston, they've supplied hostels, care homes and key workers with scrubs, face covering and scrub bags. As a carer yourself, how important is all of this?
Well, RB Carers are just a fantastic organisation. They're a group of volunteers. He sort of came together during the pandemic to try to help other people. You talked about the sewing projects that they've done, but they've done far more than that. They've helped provide food for hospital workers at Kingston Hospital under stretch. I visited some work they're doing in Norbiton this week, where they were not only having volunteers providing links to the food bank, providing clothes, providing other support, but they had encouraged people from the health service, people from the benefits system, people from the council to come together to their meeting, so that when a local, often very vulnerable people came to their meeting for help, they could have other things. They could have health checks. They could have benefit checks. They could be given far, far greater support all in one place. And I think this almost volunteer community-led model, I hope it can be replicated in many parts of the borough and probably elsewhere in the country. It is so exciting.
2023 is our coronation year. There is, of course, a historical link to Kingston with regards to King Athelstan. What is it that you want to see in the borough this year?
Well, we're really all excited about the coronation of King Charles III. I'm sure this will be a very happy moment. And as a royal borough, we'll want to celebrate it, as we did, for example, the Queen's Jubilee last year, which was fantastic. And you're right, there is a historical link. There's definitely evidence that at least some Anglo-Saxon kings were crowned here in the 10th century. And the particular evidence is for King Athelstan, where we learn from the Anglo-Saxon chronicles he was crowned on the 4th of September 925. So in 2 years' time, it'll be the 1,100th anniversary of that. So I'm keen that in this coronation year 2023, we put Kingston's historical place in the coronation of kings on the map, and we begin to prepare for what we could celebrate in 2 years' time.